Let's turn to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. We'll just read three verses, verses 17 through 19. Isaiah 65, 17 through 19. God says, "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad, and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Now try to imagine a world where everything is new. Imagine having all new joy. Imagine having no sin, no curse, no weeping, no crying. Imagine a world with no disappointments, no vain labor. Imagine a world where God delights in you. Well, that's the description God gives of the new heavens and the new earth. It's the new heavens and the new earth that He creates. Now, when you hear me say a new heavens and a new earth, do you think about some far off, distant time where God will create this new heavens and this new earth? Well, indeed, this text does speak of the end. Whenever Christ shall return and take all His people to glory, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells nothing but righteousness. But this text can't describe one time. It just can't. You'll see it as we study out the rest of the chapter next time. And you'll see it this time as well. It just can't speak of one specific time. And this new heavens and new earth, the fact is it began, truthfully it began when God gave all into Christ's hand from eternity. But as far as we can see and tell, it began when He came to this earth and redeemed His people. That's when this new heavens and new earth began. And for us particularly, it begins when He calls us into this new heavens and this new earth. This exists right now for every regenerated child of God. It exists right now. And as we wait for Him to come for that consummation, it's just getting better and better. We can look forward to it just being so good we can't even imagine how good. That's the hope we have, being with Him. But I want you to see today, God our Savior is the Creator of the new heavens and the new earth, wherein everything is the righteousness of Christ. Now first, we see plainly that God our Savior is the Creator of this new heavens and new earth. He says there in verse 17, "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Now three times in this text, He says, "I create, I create, I create." He said in Revelation 21:5, "Behold, I make all things new." I do, God said. It was God's purpose from eternity to make all things new. Did you know that? It was not God's purpose from eternity that we would dwell on this heavens and this earth forever. It was God's purpose from eternity that He would create a new heavens and a new earth. Because God determined from eternity He's going to give His Son all preeminence. And all fullness would dwell in His Son. And the way God chose to give Christ all glory, and for all preeminence to dwell in Him, He gave Him the reins from the beginning to create all things. To create all things. And so Christ came forth. God the Father came forth in Christ the Son. And He created the first heavens and the first earth. Look over Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Verse 15. It speaks here of Christ, who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. What does it mean by firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things. And by him all things consist. And he's the head of the church, the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. God gave this work to his Son from the beginning. And so God our Savior, after he created the first heavens and the first earth, he created the first man. He created that first man as a figure of him, as a figure of Christ. How so? They both were representatives, heads and representatives of their respective offspring. Adam's the head of all mankind, because all mankind would be born of him. And Christ is the head of all his people, because all his people will be born of him. So he made Adam. And according to his purpose now, not by accident, according to his purpose, he allowed Adam to have his will, to do what his will was to do, and in a perfect environment with no sin, Adam sinned against God. And when he sinned against God, what Adam did went to all his children. And so sin entered and death passed upon all Adam's children, because in Adam we all sinned and we all died. And his seed was passed on to us and we're born of his corrupt nature. That wasn't by accident. It wasn't by accident. Either God was in charge or the devil was in charge. And God was in charge. He was ruling everything. And that's what he means when he says in the Scripture, has evil happened in a city and have I not done it? It doesn't mean God's doing the evil, but God's ruling it so that it's serving his purpose to bring glory to Christ. And so when sin entered, we polluted, we corrupted the heavens and the earth. You say, we corrupted the heavens? I thought the curse came on the earth. It did, but we've corrupted the heavens too. Isn't that amazing? We've put so much junk in the heavens, and if we touch it, it's polluted. It's corrupt if a sinner touches it. And we've corrupted heaven and earth. I mean the space and the earth. We've corrupted it by our sin, whatever we touch. Well, then later, God created a world he called Israel. A nation, he called them Israel. Put some stars in that nation, some priests. Created some all things in that world that was created by him, just like he created the first heaven and earth. Why did he do that? Why did he create Israel? We say a picture is worth a thousand words. And in Israel, God drew us a picture. He drew us a picture. And that picture was showing how that Christ would come forth and create a new heavens and a new earth. But you know what we did, because we're sinners? You know what we did? We did what everybody does today who's not born of God. Men today who are not born of God will take this word and the things that are in it and all the oracles of God, and they'll say, now we'll take the law and we'll take the ceremonies and we'll take all these things we can do and reject Christ, who it all was given to glorify and all given to typify and to drive us to. And that's what they did. They took the law and the ceremonies and they forsook God. That's what the context in Isaiah 65, he's been telling reprobate Israel, they won't inherit the new heavens and new earth because they went and worshipped their idols. Even when they were in the temple, they were worshipping their idols. But here's the fact of the matter, brethren. God never intended, it was never His purpose for this heaven and this earth to continue. And it was never His purpose for Israel to continue. That wasn't His purpose. We need to be sure we state that, because, you know, there are people out there that think that God created Israel and that's how He wanted it to be, and when they rebelled against Him, then He had to go to a different plan. He had to go to plan B because He failed in the first plan. That's not so. Everything that came to pass exactly like God ordained. Exactly. He never intended for Israel, that political Israel, to last. But He says here now in our text, the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. He said there in verse 16, the former troubles are forgotten, they're hid from my eyes. You see, this new creation began for God's elect in Christ and by Christ whenever Christ came the first time and redeemed us from iniquity. That's when it started for us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll show you this, where it means this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We often refer to this to mean regeneration. And it does have to do with regeneration, but the Scripture here, He's talking about our standing with God. And our standing with God was accomplished by Christ. Now look here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says there, if any man be in Christ when He went to the cross, in Christ when He fulfilled the law and laid down His life, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. He reconciled His people. He made all things new. That's why God can say, I don't remember the former troubles, your former troubles. They're gone. They're hid from my eyes. Our curse, our sin, and our death are not remembered by God. You hear that? Our sin, our curse, and our death is not remembered by God anymore. Now, believer, you latch on to that and quit looking back at the past and bringing it up again. God says, I don't remember it. I don't remember it. It's forgotten. Old things are passed away. Our old, sinful, cursed, condemned standing with God is passed away. We're righteous in Christ, reconciled in Christ. And then this too, the old things are passed away. Christ fulfilled all the law and the ceremonies and the prophets. All those carnal ordinances of legal worship, they're gone. They're passed away. The sacrifices, gone. The Sabbath days, gone. The holy days, gone. The yearly feasts, passed away. Altars, passed away. That entire carnal priesthood is ended. It's all passed away. Because every bit of that typified the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you that. Turn to Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look at this. Verse 16. Let no man judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You see that? They're just a shadow. That's all they were. They were to picture Christ. And now Christ is ushered in an entirely new way to worship. Not in those old legal ceremonies and ordinances. He's issued in a new way to worship now. He said, now's the time when those that worship God are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, he said, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've seen this a couple of times lately. We're the circumcision, given a new heart, who worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We don't have any confidence in the flesh. We'll worship God in the spirit. Now look over at Hebrews 10:15. Here's the new way in which we worship. Hebrews 10:15. You know that priest had to, the old way was the priest, the sinner had to go to the priest, earthly priest, and the priest, they had to bring a lamb, kill that lamb, and that priest had to take his blood into an earthly tabernacle, into an earthly holy place, and he sprinkled that blood on an earthly ark and an earthly mercy seat. No more. That's all gone. Christ is the lamb, and Christ is the priest. And he's entered in. Look here, verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. See, this is an old thing. The old way's gone. This is a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, through his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. That means, let us draw near in spirit and worship God in spirit, in Christ. Through faith in Christ. You see, that's the new way. The only ordinances we have now are baptism, believer's baptism, and the Lord's table. And soon, just like Israel faded away, vanished, soon this earth's going to pass away. That's what we see. Look at 2 Peter 3. What one of the things, everything he showed us in Israel was a picture of what God's doing in, did in this earth in Christ. It shows a picture of him saving his spiritual Israel. And when it ended, it showed us a picture of what's going to happen to this world. In 70 AD, God sent, he sent in there troops from Rome and destroyed Jerusalem. Well, in the end, God's going to destroy this heavens and this earth. Look here, 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. And just account this. You reckon this to be the truth. The long-suffering of our Lord, salvation. He's going to save every one of his people. Every one of them. But you see there, this will be a new heavens and a new earth, and this one's going to pass away. Now, I was not going to mention this, but I will. Back a long, long, long time ago, when God began to give some men some light, and they began to come out of papacy, out of the Roman Catholic Church, and they began to talk about the Pope being Antichrist, there was some Jesuit priests who were trying to save the Pope from that, and they came up with a inventive doctrine called preterism. And they said that Christ returned in 70 A.D. And they did it to, if they could show that he returned in 70 A.D., then they could say that the Antichrist was somebody beside the Pope, because the Pope came later. But that doctrine was just created to protect falsehood. Well, Christ indeed was ruling over everything when the Romans came. And he indeed was present, just like he was present in the destruction of Babylon and the destruction of Israel. Yeah, you know, throughout, every time they were carried captive, he was ruling everything. But we see a picture in that of this world, and this world's going to end. We don't dare say we're living now in the second advent where Christ has come already. He's coming again in the end. And this is going to happen to this heaven and this earth. But now, rest in what He said. I've created everything new now. And believer, that's where He's brought us. We're in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You got a new standing with God. New delights in the new man. Everything's new. Now, let's go to the second point here. For us who are translated into this new heaven and new earth, God our Savior has given us new joy. We got new rejoicing. Look here in verse 18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. That shows us a little bit of our sin right there, doesn't it? He said, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former is not going to be remembered anymore. And he begins the next sentence with a but. But you be glad and rejoice in that. You see, because we're so prone to look at this earth and this life and these things and think this is our joy. He says, no, you be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and I create her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. The first carnal Jerusalem is forgotten. That first carnal Jerusalem is forgotten. Not forgotten by some men. Some men are looking for us all to go to that Jerusalem one day. I'm looking for us all to go to heavenly Jerusalem one day, be with our Lord. And that's the mountain He said you've come to. In Galatians 4:25, He said Jerusalem, which now is, Jerusalem below, is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's where Christ is, with all the saints He's already brought home. That's where we're headed. Where we're headed. Revelation 21:1. Let's go there. Where are we going to see this new Jerusalem come from? Revelation 21, verse 1. We're going to see it rise up out of the Middle East. Listen to what the description is. Revelation 21, 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know who New Jerusalem is? New Jerusalem is all God's elect that have been called and robed with Christ's righteousness so that we're complete in Him, every single one of us. And when that's done, that new heavens and new earth, that new Jerusalem will be complete. Come down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for a husband. Now hold your place right there in Revelation 21. And I want you to show you something, though, back in our text. Right now, in Christ, we've got everlasting joy. We're looking for that joy to come, but we've got everlasting joy right now. He said, behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. You know, right now, believer, we glory. Right now, we glory. We glory. We glory and we praise and we rejoice right now. But the difference between true religion and false religion is we don't glory in us. We don't glory in our flesh. We glory in God. That's our rejoicing. That's our praise. Look at Isaiah 12 and verse 4. Isaiah 12 and verse 4. He says, in that day, shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. That's what you're going to do in the day God calls you into Christ, into this new heavens and this new earth. We're going to praise God. In Isaiah 42, look at verse 12. Isaiah 42 and verse 12. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands. See, we glory and we rejoice in Christ. That's who we glory in. We glory in His wonderful works and what He's done. We glory in God our Father, what He's done for us in Christ. We glory in God's electing love in Christ. It's not just His electing love in Christ. We joy in His blood atonement in Christ. We joy in God's regenerating, sanctifying grace in Christ. We rejoice in His free forgiveness in Christ. We rejoice in free justification in Christ. We rejoice in His preserving grace in Christ. We rejoice in His glorifying grace in Christ. He's going to resurrect us one day and glorify us. A to Z, we're rejoicing in God's work because He saved us. And here's the most amazing thing about our joy. God says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in My people. Even more amazing than the fact that we rejoice in the Lord, that's amazing because He had to create us anew, give us a new heart to bring us to do that. But even more amazing than that, He says in our text, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in My people. See, Jerusalem and My people are the same thing. I'm going to joy in My people, God said. How can God joy in us? How can God rejoice in us? Because when we're created entirely new by what Christ did for us at Calvary and by what Christ has done in us by His Spirit, brethren, the King's daughter is altogether lovely within and without. We're robed in the King's garments within and without. And so in Christ, God says, I see nothing but joy and rejoicing in My people. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's where He sees us and rejoices, is in Christ Jesus. Zephaniah 3 said, Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord's taken away your judgments. He's cast out your enemy, the King of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not your hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save you, and He will rejoice over you with joy. He'll rest in His love, and He'll joy over thee with singing. Can you just try to picture that, brethren? When you look and you see your sin, and you're down, and you're on that lowest limb where you need to be so that you're not glorying in your flesh, then you get along with God and think on this thought right here. In Christ, by Christ, apart from me and my works, in Christ Jesus right now, I'm righteous, and God's rejoicing over me. God's rejoicing over me. And that's how it's going to be. It's not going to change. He's rejoicing over His people in Christ. And Christ is in our midst right now in spirit. He's in our midst right now in spirit, just like He said He would be. But in that eternal day, we're going to walk with Him face to face. Can you imagine that? Walking with Christ side by side, face to face. Look at Revelation 21 again, verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men. His dwelling place is with men. And He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Now hold there for me. Right now, we're in these bodies of death and our joy is mixed with sorrow because we're sinners. All our joy we have in Christ is mixed with the sorrow that our flesh is. And the sin that happens in this world to us and to our friends and our loved ones and what have you. But He says here, the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Now in our inner man, we got nothing to be sad about. Nothing but rejoicing. But one day, brethren, we won't have anything but rejoicing. There won't be any tears. Now look at back to Revelation 21, look at verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, You write, for these words are true and faithful. What's the joy of heaven? What's the joy of heaven? Look at Matthew 25. I'm going to end with this. What's the joy of heaven? And listen carefully. This world is so full of noise. People, everybody's talking, nobody's listening. But I'll tell you what the joy of heaven is. Everybody thinks they got joy in this life. Joy in this life. I'll show you what the joy of heaven is right here. One day, Christ is going to speak. He's going to call the last of His blood-bought children. And when He returns and brings us into this new heavens and new earth, we're going to all be together with Him there. And this is what, in that day after He's said, we're righteous and holy, and He's cast out the rebels, He's going to say this to His child right here. Matthew 25:21. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's joy. The joy of your Lord. The psalmist said, In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there's pleasures forevermore. Now that's so right now. Christ is our joy right now. Can you say this, believer, is there any joy you have that lasts in this earth or in this flesh? You know, when you're younger, you think it's going to last forever. But one by one, you see those joys fade, fade, fade. And that's what they all do. They all fade. But Christ, the joy we have in Christ, never fades. It never diminishes. And it's getting better and better and better. One day, we're going to see Him face to face. And we're going to enter the joy of our Lord. I pray for you that don't know Him. I pray for you on a daily basis. I try to. I try to ask God to have mercy on you and save you and call you and give you this hope, because I'm telling you, hanging on to this life right here. Have you ever seen ants floating in the water? We'd be fishing, and certain times of the year, we had these fire ants where I grew up. Certain times of the year, I don't know what they were doing really, but they would all ball up and you'd see them floating in the water. You know, just floating in the water. That's what we are. It's where everybody, they would just be all crawling on top of one another, trying to stay on top so they'd be above the water. And the ones on the bottom just drowned it. And they just floating on them. And that's mankind. We just crawling over one another, floating on a bubble. And it's going to bust real soon. And I pray for you that God will bless you. We have eternal life, brethren. It's not something we're waiting on. We got it. All we're waiting on is to put off this death. And we're going to be with Him forever. Just like we saw in the first hour, He's going to bring all this affection to nothing. Till that day we come to death, and we're going to see that nothing we had our affection on was worth anything. And in the end, He's going to bring us all right where we were in the beginning, with Christ, the joy of our Lord. Amen. All right, Brother Eric.